Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
Nunes' hands are down, and she's walking Ronda down. She tags her again.
Over and over, Amanda Nunes.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
If I can't teach you one way, I'll teach you another. But I'm going to get the job done.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos. Ladies and gentlemen, emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar sports byline studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC Boxing TV. Straight up, my name is Pedro Fernandez. Who am I? I am your host. I'm also an award-winning writer and a four-time Golden Glove champion. So I'm supposed to know a little bit about boxing, but guess what? I always found out the average boxing fan maybe knows a little bit more. So I'm going to open up the toll-free right now at the top of the hour just for you, 1-800-878-7520. You want to check us out on the toll-free phone line? Come on in, 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. There's also the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. That number, 415-275-1613. Once again, text us here in the studio, 415-275-1613. Of course, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, Saturday, May 1st, 2021. Coming to you live, of course, from the Sports Byline Studios. Live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Channel 217. Wow, of course, we are live on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. Check us out, the live video stream as I speak. We will have the PhD of boxing, Mr. Socrates Palmer, after the break, of course, talk about Chris Arreola and Andy Ruiz. Of course, Andy Ruiz, no longer Andy Ruiz. Why? I'll talk about that a little bit later. Of course, fight tonight, Dmitry Bovo, the WBA and WBC and IBF and the world 175-pound champion. He'll be in action. Lots of stuff to talk about. And, of course, boxing on three different channels. So a big boxing weekend, no doubt about it. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC Boxing TV. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. If you're watching us, of course, on Twitch.tv, it's WBC Boxing TV. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Of course, want to mention the fact that a longtime champion, Marutu Mathani, of course, from South Africa, 39-3, 26 KOs, hasn't lost since 2008. Then I looked at the guys that he's fought. I never heard any of these guys, except maybe one, Ricardo Lopez. I think he was from, from Panama. Outside of that, I didn't know a single guy anyway. He lost to a guy by the name of Sonny Edwards, who came in with 15 and zipped with 4 KOs. I think he's from the UK. Of course, that was in London. The scores were 118, 111, 120, 108, and 115, 113. But, you know, to remain undefeated since 2008 is quite an accomplishment. And then you look at his record and you say, maybe not so much. Anyway, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Open phone lines all around the planet. You can join us if you like. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. No surprise last week in Emmanuel Navarrete, of course, the WBO 126-pound champion. Now, still the once-beaten champion, of course, lost that fight early on in his career. Good-looking fighter. Lots of knockouts. Stopped Chris Diaz, I think, about the sixth round. Of course, Chris came to fight, but you know, it doesn't matter. This kid's got the real, he is the real goods. This is no doubt about it. I really expect him to do bigger and better things, maybe at 130 pounds. Of course, also in the co-feature, Mr. Knockout in the first round, didn't get his first round knockout, but he got some work. And he looked like a decent club fighter with ability. I'm talking about Edgar Berlanga, the puncher. Of course, he was like 16-0 with 16 first-round knockouts. And, of course, he went the 8 rounds against Desmond Nicholson. And I thought it was a good learning experience. But, you know, he's still green, real green. He doesn't move around that well. This guy scored like, remember Canelo early on when he fought like Floyd Mayweather, had two left feet? This guy's got two left feet, I think, right now, but we'll see how he improves. We'll talk about Edgar Berlanga, now 17 and zip. Of course, no longer 17 first round knockouts. So, of course, that was last week. Later today, of course, Derek Chisora and Joseph Parker. Joseph Parker, the guy that I was never impressed with, of course, a former WBO heavyweight title holder. I never understood why he rose to the heights in which he did. He just didn't bring too much to the dance. Anyway, taking on Derek Chisora, who's older than God. He was like at the First Supper. There's just no doubt about it. That's how old he is. Of course, on the co-feature, Dmitry Bivol, the light heavyweight champion, taking on Craig Richards. I thought Craig Richards was I'm thinking of Rene Richards, the cross-dresser. Anyway, bottom line is Craig Richards and Dmitry Bivol. That'll be on the Zone, of course, later today, coming to us from the UK. And on pay-per-view tonight, Andy Ruiz. Andy Ruiz, formerly. We'll see what he can do tonight, but he was anti-Luis. I'm willing to give him a pass. He's taking on Chris Areola. Areola came in shape, like 228 pounds, looking lean, looking mean, but he's 40 years old, going on 90. Of course, I'm talking about old heavyweights. Of course, this is a classic matchup of the young heavyweight looking to get back maybe into the picture a little bit. And of course, they get the right veteran for him, and Chris Areola looks like the right veteran. Topping off the night in boxing, Arizona Lara, of course, he was a 154-pound champion a couple of times with the former Cuban exile, taking on Thomas LaManna for the WBA middleweight title. What happened to Gennady Golovkin? Anyway, Eduardo Ramirez and Isaac Avalar in the WBA interim featherweight title. Of course, that's the co-feature, and that's on Fox. So lots of boxing night on TV. Speaking of boxing, let's take it to the boxing PhD. Of course, come to us from the Bronx. We'll talk about Mr. Socrates Palmer. What's up, Mr. Palmer?
Hey, how's it going, P?
Been doing just fine, man. Let's talk about last week's fight. Navarrete, pluses, negatives. What's your outlook on that?
Manny Navarrete continues to be just a buzzsaw. I mean, the only thing that has slowed Navarrete down was COVID-19. You know, at one point he was fighting and seemed like every other month. He is a very impressive individual. He's definitely not someone that if you're working with a young amateur, you're going to say, listen, let's study this guy. This is how you do it, because he throws punches from all different angles, and it's not the something you would find in a fundamental book, a boxing fundamentals book, but he gets the job done. You know, okay. He can punch. He throws a lot of punches from just all over the place. He's got a good chin, and he's right now, he's definitely the best at his weight class until proven otherwise.
What does Bob Arum say? He's the best fighter, and he's a Mexican. And Bob, you know, Bob's pushing the Mexican. They ain't trying to say he's better than Canelo. Of course, Canelo was the pound-for-pound king going May the 8th against undefeated Billy Joe Saunders at 168 pounds. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Last week, we had two cards on the same day in Rhode Island, the boxing hotbed that is Rhode Island. And tonight, there's like 11 fights in Wyoming. I mean, 11 fights in Wyoming. What's going on here? Are these promotional companies like Triller and people like that, are they taking cards to obsolete venues and airing them? Is this what's going on here?
Well, I don't know if those states have more laxed COVID capacity. Maybe that could be something to do with it. I'm sure the venues are a lot cheaper than renting on Madison Square Garden, let's say. I'm sure that has something to do with it, the dollars and cents. But it's pretty cool. I mean, like you said, Wyoming is not the hotbed for boxing. And if you get a live show out there, I'm sure there will be people that would love to go and see it.
Hey, you know the best fighter pound for pound in all of Wyoming, right?
Buffalo Bill?
Liz Cheney.
Dick Cheney's wife?
No, his daughter.
Oh, his daughter. Right.
She's heavyweight, man. She's mean. That's a tough, tough mama. She's smart as well. Of course, boxing is alive and well. Now, Floyd Mayweather is going to take on a guy by the name of Logan Paul. Evidently, he's related to Jake Paul. I knew who Jake Paul was because I saw something. He knocked out Ben Askren last week. Of course, Ben Askren went down like a sack of potatoes. He was a wrestler. They might as well put a juggler in there with this guy Paul. I mean, Chris Paul. They might as well put a juggler in there instead of. I mean, this guy, he couldn't throw hands. He couldn't throw hands. So he's not a hand thrower. He's a kicker. and a wrestler, and he gets knocked out in the blink of an eye, and everybody's jumping up and down. Is this good for boxing, or is this not?
What can I say? I mean, is it good for boxing? I'm kind of indifferent to it. You know, I mean, I watched it, obviously, but, you know, so that way I know what people are talking about the next day. It's not something that's going to overshadow real fights. Like, it's not going to be something that people are going to talk, in comparison to when Canelo Alvarez fights or Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua. I mean, it has its own niche. I understand it brought a certain audience that otherwise would have no interest in boxing. And I think it's actually good for the sport. You know, I'm kind of always under the philosophy of that, some attention is better than no attention. And even some bad publicity is better than no publicity.
True, but if anybody outside of Floyd Mayweather was involved, I'd sort of say, right on, but it's Mayweather, and I don't like him. I think he should just go away. I thought he was a bad dream for boxing, and this is why I say this. You know, if he'd have been a porn star, if he'd have been in porno movies, there would have been no money shots with Mayweather. Like Larry Merchant said, the excitement stops when the bell rings.
Listen, hey, you know what? You're right. He is a very dislikable person. For various reasons, one of which, some of his fights. I mean, if you ever have insomnia, you could pop in one of his tapes. You know, for a lot of times, it's a circus. Now, I don't want to act like if I have insomnia, because there have been these type of circus fights before. Muhammad Ali, the greatest of all time. I mean, he fought Antonio Inoki, and I believe he had an exhibition with Lyle Alzado.
You know, damaged him greatly, man. That fight with the Japanese guy, that really messed Ali's legs up. His legs and his hips were bleeding. I mean, it was ugly. Anyway, go on. I'm sorry.
You know, so, you know, we've seen this before. Floyd, you know, is that the first and it won't be the last? You know, it's a shame because you see Floyd from the outside. He keeps himself in immaculate shape. And if he's going to get into the ring, you would like for him to fight someone like that actually has a chance of competing against him. You know, it is what it is. I mean, there's a lot of Mayweather fanatics that are going to watch anyway. And
all right,
it is what it is.
I got to cut you off right there. I got to cut you off because you said Mayweather fanatics. Why would somebody be so enamored with a guy that doesn't go for the kill, that doesn't knock people out, that really isn't exciting, that sort of boxes in a boorish, almost Cuban, like a modified Cuban amateur style?
You know, okay, it's like music. You know, it's subjective. You know, some people like that, you know, that artistry. Some people are enamored with the whole undefeated record that he has and the whole marketing of TBE and TBT and whatever. You know, it's... there's a niche for it, you know, and I appreciate Floyd Mayweather's greatness, but I can also, you know, see through the BS that he's put a lot of real fight fans through. I can always go by the fact that he ducked Antonio Margarito back in the day. You know, he never unified a division. You know, like there's a lot of stuff you could really nitpick at his career. But, you know, he fought guys at Shane Mosley when he was, you know, past his prime. So you can nitpick on Floyd Mayweather. Obviously, the record, it is what it is. If you want to call him the best fighter of all time, that's your opinion. But I think he is far from it.
Okay. You know, it's pretty obvious. You know, every time I look at these Facebook pages, they're always ripping Canelo. And they're black guys ripping Canelo. And then if you look at their posts, they're also like Floyd, they're like Trump lookings. They're Floyd fanatics, and they're knocking Canelo, and they're spending all this time knocking Canelo, and I'm wondering why there's like this group of people on the internet that just going out of their way to knock Canelo and things like that. You know, well, he beat him in 2013 and this and that. Well, it isn't, you know, that isn't today. Anyway, Floyd Mayweather, I don't think can live up to the or to the accomplishments of people like Roberto Duran and Sugar Ray Leonard and Tommy Hearns. I mean, he might have been able to do okay with Benitez, but outside of that, I think those guys would have beat him. And of course, he would have never stepped up and fought Marvin Hagler. He didn't have that intestinal fortitude. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, aka WBC Boxing TV. Of course, open phone lines all around the planet. Once again, 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, there's also the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. You can text me here in the studio. The number, 415-275-1613. The text line, once again, 415-275-1613. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC Boxing TV.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC. Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council. Right here on Sports Byline.
Well, fans, our main event features a WBA heavyweight world title eliminator. Now we invite our fighters to the stage. First, with 33 knockouts and his 38 victories, the hard-hitting warrior from Riverside, California, Chris the Nightmare Arreola. And now introducing his opponent with a record of 33 wins and 2 losses, 22 wins coming by way of knockout. Here is boxing's first heavyweight champion of Mexican heritage from Imperial Valley, California, Andy the Destroyer Ruiz. Well, fans, this WBA heavyweight world title eliminator scheduled 12 rounds of boxing. First to the scale at this time, the hard-hitting world-ranked contender, Chris the Nightmare Arreola.
228.7.
228 and a half pounds, 228 and a half pounds for Chris the Nightmare Arreola. And now his opponent, ready to step onto the scale, the former unified heavyweight champion of the world, the new Andy the Destroyer Ruiz. 256 pounds for Andy Ruiz. 256 pounds.
Andy Ruiz, of course, the former world heavyweight champion, started training for that second fight with Anthony Joshua, of course, at 320 pounds, came in like 283, weighed in at 256 pounds. Now the question is, and I've got a split screen picture up on the twitch.tv sports byline screen right now, of course, a picture of Andy Ruiz when he fought Anthony Joshua the second time, and a picture of Andy Ruiz last week taken for Fox. Now I've got questions coming in for Socrates Palmer, of course, Boxing's PhD, coming to us from the Bronx. And the first one is, Soc, I hope you're ready for this one. Did Andy Ruiz get plastic surgery?
No, I don't think so.
No?
You mean like gastric bypass or?
No. What I meant was, did they cut the fat away from the side of you and that kind of stuff? They go in there and they suck the fat out?
I haven't heard anything. I mean, it's very hard to keep a secret these days, you know, with so many media outlets. I think if Andy, you know, went to, Dr. Tommy Tuck or, you know, I think he would have already been outed by now. No, I think, Andy got his weight down the old-fashioned way by working hard in the gym. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Of course, Chris Arreola hasn't fought since 2019, losing to Adam Konacki, of course, in 12 rounds. And before that, he had rolled up a couple of wins against, you know, ho-hum type of guys. And he lost to Wilder, of course, was stopped in the eighth round with Deontay Wilder in 2016. What does Arreola bring to the dance here? Or is he just an opponent?
I believe he brings to the dance some heart. I think he's going to give an honest effort, but at this stage in his career, he's done. You know, his punch resistance, I'm sure, is not what it used to be. I think it's a little too late in this stage in the game for Chris Arreola. You wish he would have taken his career seriously about 5 years ago. You know, we probably wouldn't be speaking about him the way we are today. I think he's a good comeback fight for Andy Ruiz. He's a guy that he's not going to have to look for him. You know, Arreola's not a guy that's going to hold. He's going to give an honest effort. Okay. And I think, he's going to make Andy Ruiz really shine and get people back to, you know, thinking about him as a top three or four heavyweight in the world.
Okay. Speaking of old heavyweights, I'll bring up an old heavyweight here. Derek Chisora, long in the tooth, taking on Joseph Parker, a guy that never really did anything for me. I just kind of have to put it to you. He never did anything for me. Of course, he was a former WBO heavyweight champion. Of course, they're going on his own from across the pond. Chisora and Parker, is Parker going to roll over the old man here, or is the old man going to bring some fire?
Well, the old man always brings the fire. You know, that's one thing. He is a great for television fighter. You know, he's great for press conferences too. He's always angry at the world. You know, I think that he probably may not have a full deck, you know, because he's really like nuts sometimes. But I think at 37 years of age, it's a lot to ask for. He's definitely been in some wars. He's been stopped before. He's not the hardest person to not hit. I believe that, Joseph Parker is the better boxer of the two. And like, much like you, I've never been awed by Joseph Parker. I've never said to myself watching this guy like, whoa, you know, I'm watching, you know, one of the best heavyweights in the world. Just something about him. He's got a great look. You know, he's got a great PR, team behind him when he was coming up, but he's always fallen short, you know, and he had the two losses back to back with, Anthony Joshua and Dillian White. And he's ran off a couple of wins against, you know, subpar competition last time out against, Fa. And he wasn't, you know, that impressive either. So, it should be an interesting fight. I have to lean towards Parker just simply because of age.
Who is Craig Richards?
Craig Richards.
He's taking on Dimitri Bivol. I mean, I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at Bivol supposed to be the guy at 175, but how come Dimitri Bivol isn't a household name among boxing fans, even though he's undefeated?
You know, he is a very sharp fighter. He's not the most exciting. I know that he had fought on HBO a couple of times. You know, he just doesn't knock people out like the way, you know, most guys at that weight class that get attention do. He did stop Sullivan Barrero, who's very good. And I think inactivity, that's probably the biggest enemy. He didn't fight all of last year due to COVID, like many fighters. But he's got good wins. You look at his resume, he beat John Pascal, Joe Smith. He's a very good light heavyweight. Arguably in the mix between him and Beterbiev, you know, who are the best fighters at that weight class.
Okay, real quick, I'm gonna cut you off. Joe Smith, did Joe Smith get a gift a couple weeks ago? Yes or no?
I believe he got some home cooking. Yes.
Boxing.
And I like Joe,
huh?
And I like Joe a lot, but I think that fight could have been a draw at worst.
Oh, I'm looking here. I'm looking at the odds here. Floyd Mayweather is a 500-1 opened a 500-1. Favorite over this guy, Logan Paul. Now he's a 200-1 favorite. Does that mean people are betting money on Logan Paul?
I guess, well, Logan has a big family, you know, and maybe his parents and I think he's from Ohio.
19.1 million Instagram followers.
Hey, I can't knock the hustle, man. This is 2021. He's an influencer. He's a very popular individual. I didn't know about him up until a couple of years ago when he fought the other influencer, KSI, and he lost, by the way. I mean, it is what it is, man. I'm hoping just to ignore it and it'll go away.
Okay. And, talking about Edgar Berlanga, what did you think of him going 8 rounds?
I think it was good. I think it was good for him. Once again, I'm not really impressed by him. You know, I think he's definitely got holes in his game, but he is going to be an exciting fighter for fight fans because he is brute strength and he's going to be right in front of you. But I believe he will fall short of a world title, just from what I see.
He's improved as far as obviously, you know, going to the 8 rounds versus 1. But he just looked very green as far as his footwork was concerned, him being able to cut people off, that kind of good stuff. Anyway, Socrates Palmer, always a pleasure. Say hi to the family.
Thank you, my brother. Appreciate it. Enjoy your weekend.
Boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer, live on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Back after the break.
We get in this car, we're driving. We're heading close to Texas. I said, let's pull over for the night. He goes, no, you just need to close your eyes for a little bit. I'll keep driving. And I'm like, macho. He goes, I'm okay. I won't go speed. I said, okay. And I fall asleep. I don't know how long I was closed my eyes, but it wasn't long. He taps me on my shoulder. He goes, hey, I need money for the toll. And I'm like, the toll. And I open my eyes and I see the border. We're on the line to the border into Mexico. I'm like, what are you doing? The patrol looks and they wait for us to go into the security check. And I'm like, it's okay, macho, no problem. I'll take care of this. Let me talk. He goes, yeah, but that's not the problem. I got a little present in the trunk. I got a kilo in the trunk. And I said, okay, macho, put the top down. It was a convertible, Jack. And I need you to do macho time right now, right here. He puts the top down. He jumps up out of this car. He jumps onto the hood of this $90,000 Jag. And he stands up and he's screaming, where's Chavez? Everybody went crazy. The Border Patrol comes. Everybody started, come on, Joe. The Border Patrol guy passes me with a dog. The dog goes crazy. The dog starts barking and scratching. I look in the rearview mirror, and the Border Patrol takes the dog and hits him on the door. He goes, shut up, that's Camacho.
Can only be told by the Harlem Hecker. That is the life and story, of course, of Hector Camacho. May he rest in peace. Of course, he's world champion, 130 pounds, 135, maybe 140 and 147. After that, he was sort of like a cartoon character, more or less. But the bottom line is, he was a good guy. At one point in time, I was fighting with my ex-wife, and she wouldn't let me talk to my daughter on the phone. I was calling from Atlantic City. He heard, he knew that she was a boxing fan, especially a fan of Hector Camacho. So she calls him on, he calls her on the phone, and she goes, she thought it was my friend Hector Martinez. So she grabs the phone, she goes, hey, hello, is this Olga? And she goes, yeah. And she goes, yeah. He goes, this is Hector. He goes, Hector who? And the witchiest tone she could ever come up with, okay? I mean, she's evil. Anyway, she was evil. Anyway, bottom line, he goes, Hector Camacho. And then she sort of just melted. The bottom line is, he told her, Leo, let the guy talk to his daughter. But the bottom line is, she was who she was. But Hector Camacho was who he was. May he rest in peace. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC Boxing TV. Of course, Derek Chisora and Joseph Parker in that main event. Of course, coming to us on The Zone. Coming to us from Manchester, the UK. Of course, live on The Zone. Good looking main event as far as these heavyweights are concerned, because Chisora is going to press him, no doubt about that. 32-10, of course. Parker coming in at 28-2. Dimitri Bivol, the undefeated champion, 17-0, taking on Craig Richards, 16-1-1. And here is the fight that I'm intrigued by, and I'm getting more intrigued by women's boxing week after week. Why? Because women are showing up to the dance, much like they did in the world of mixed martial arts when Ronda Rousey stepped up, and Amanda Nunes and Chris Cyborg Santos. Of course, some people think she's not a real girl, but she is. Anyway, but the bottom line is, you know, when these women took the stage away from men in the world of mixed martial arts, they were commanding the pay-per-views. I mean, Ronda was the hottest thing in all of pay-per-view, be it boxing, MMA, you name it. She was rocking and rolling, but she got beat, of course, and then the other girl stepped up, and now Amanda Nunes, of course, the girl that beat her is like the king at 135 and 145, but, women's boxing has been sort of lackluster when it comes to comparing it to women's MMA, especially the last couple of years. What I'm trying to tell you is that the women in MMA realize they're carrying the entire sport on their shoulders. If they go out there and suck, it reflects on the entire sport, on the entire, all the females. One female fight goes out there and it's bad, and people get, oh, I'll never watch chicks fight again. I don't want, they're terrible. They don't even, anyway, bottom line is, women have a lot of pride when it comes to athletic contests. Of course, now boxing, women are stepping it up. Not Clarissa Shields, not my favorite guy person, but she seems to be someone that's getting a lot of airplay as far as the internet is concerned. But this girl is going to rock today. Katie Taylor, 17-0. She's got like 19 different belts. She's a lightweight champion of WBC, WBA, IBF, WBO. In other words, she's got all the belts. She's the real deal. Taking on Natasha Jones. Of course, that's going to be on the DAZN undercard. Of course, Chris Eubank Jr. is going to be on the same card. He's going to take on Marcos Morrison, who comes in at 23-3. Of course, Eubank Jr., 29-2. Good-looking fighter, but, you know, it's always hard when you're the offspring of these great fighters. Chris Eubank was a 168-pound champion, 175-pound champion. I mean, he was the real deal. There's no doubt about it. Of course, he wears the monocle in his eye, right? A little bit of an eccentric dude, no doubt about that. But his kid, tough to be better than your dad. Shane Mosley's kid, tough to be better than your dad. Julio Cesar Chavez's kid, he was better than his dad, but only in a couple of ways. You know, like maybe not showing up for fights and not preparing himself. I mean, he just wasn't... Chavez Jr. was a bit of a disappointment as far as boxers are concerned. But you know what? When a kid grows up in the suburbs and he grows up with money, he grows up in a mansion, this thing, you really expect him to be as hard up and as desperate as his father was, Julio Cesar Chavez Sr., when he was living in a railroad car in Tijuana. That's what he got. That's what he was living in, a railroad car. That's what he was living in. I kid you not. When he was fighting 4 and 6 round fights in Tijuana down there across the border, that's what he lived in, a railroad car. Of course, now the kid was living in mansions. You can't expect the kid to have the same hunger. It just doesn't happen. Of course, he had money. Money ruins a lot of things. Anyway, that's the DAZN card. I'm hot on this with Chris Eubank and Marcus Morris, and we'll see where Chris goes as far as the future is concerned. Now, as far as the world of history is concerned, somebody said to me, you never talk about history anymore. Well, my house historian Bill Lowe has been on vacation to an extent, and Mickey Walker, of course, the former middleweight and light heavyweight champion, 94-19 with 60 KOs, was only stopped 6 times in all those fights, had a lot of newspaper fights, so a lot of these fights that he had weren't official. And the reason why they weren't official is that they didn't allow boxing. Boxing was illegal. So they had newspaper judges. In other words, you know, like if I was working for the newspaper, I would like write a column and say, you know, Joe Smith won the fight last night. I saw him winning the fight like 8 rounds to 2 or something like that. But often the sports writers were drunk or bribed or crooked or that kind of good stuff. You know, Wyatt Earp, of course, the great Wyatt man, he threw that heavyweight title fight he was involved in. There was absolutely no doubt about it. It was a fix. Everybody knew that. Of course, the greatest lawman of the Wild Wild West turned out to be the worst referee in the history of boxing. Yeah, he was the worst referee in the history of boxing. That was another thing about it. Joey Curtis was. Joey Curtis, of course, the guy that was exiled from the world of boxing after he was 83 when he did that Michael Doakes, Michael Weaver fight where he stopped the fight in the first round. And, of course, he appeared at the post-fight party with Michael Doakes. Hey, taking pictures with Michael Doakes. Hey! I mean, they stopped the fight in like 35 seconds. It was like stopping like, what was that? Mike Weaver is one of those guys, a slow starter. He always takes a licking early on and sort of gets ticking later on, but they wouldn't allow him to do that. Of course, Joey Curtis was a construction guy, ran a construction company in Las Vegas, owed me money for advertising, never paid me, but the hell with that. They banished him from boxing. He never worked another card as a judge or a referee after that Doakes card. I mean, he was just banished from boxing. He died a few years ago. What can I say? He still owes me money. His company he had a construction company in Las Vegas, Nevada, and when I went to sue him, I was going to sue him a small claims court for like, you know, $2,500. I think that's what he owed me. And I said to myself, why even bother? The guy's a piece of work. Anyway, X off from the world of boxing, no doubt about that. Now, boxing referee. Somebody asked me the other day, who do I think was the best referee of all time? I think that Larry Hazard Jr., I think he's now the head of the New Jersey Athletic Commission, was the head for a long time, then he went away, he was in exile, then he came back. I think that Larry's probably one of the best, maybe two or three. I think that, I think Arthur McCanty, without a doubt, senior, not junior, was one of the best, without a doubt. And I like Carlos Padilla. Carlos Padilla, of course, the Filipino-American. Of course, he was the referee for the Thrill in Manila with Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier back in 1975. But what I thought he's probably his best effort as a referee was when he refereed Roberto Duran and Sugar Ray Leonard. Of course, the brawl for it all, June 20th, 1980, the Montreal Stadium, of course, the Olympic Stadium up there in Montreal, Canada, where Ray Leonard had won that 139-pound gold medal, of course, back in 1976. He comes back in 1980, takes on Roberto Duran, the former lightweight champion, and he's not the favorite. I mean, the crowd sort of gave him a bit of a boo. They weren't too happy to see Ray Leonard that night. He sort of got booed pre-fight going into the ring. Roberto Duran was a bit of the hero that night. Of course, he won that night. That was Duran's greatest moment as a welterweight, not Duran's greatest moment as a fighter. What was his greatest moment as a fighter? It probably was him beating Davey Moore in 1983 or going the full distance, 15 rounds with Marvin Hagler 6 months later in 1983, November 1983. I mean, the fact that this guy competed at 122 pounds, was first world ranked at 126 pounds, won the world champion at 135, skipped 140 because the guy at 140 was like, he was an easy guy. And of course, the WBA wanted to keep Antonio Cervantes with the title of the WBA 140-pound title. So he went to 147. He had his choice of champions at 147. He took on the roughest of toughest. He could have had Pepino Cuevas. Cuevas, of course, a guy that he would knock out a couple years later, but he took on Sugar Ray Leonard in the brawl for it all. Of course, Ray, undefeated. No doubt about it. 76 Olympic gold medals. A sharp kid, as I said, won the Olympic gold medal at 139, moved up to 147, had beat Wilfred Benito, was coming off that knockout of Davey Boy Green, knocked Davey into another time zone. I mean, good Lord, that was one of the most vicious knockouts of all time when he knocked out Davey Boy Green. Of course, Davey Boy, I asked him about that one time. I said, that's what happens when you don't see the punches coming. Yeah, that is what happens when you don't see the punches coming. Having been drilled by a guy, not knocked out, but knocked down by punches you don't see coming. You say, what happened? Yeah, it was a punch you didn't see. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. You're inside looking to the world of boxing, MMA, of course, TV, rocking and rolling tonight. Getting some text here. Why am I dogging the Pauls? Logan, I don't know these guys. How can I dog them? I don't know them. I mean, one guy's had one fight. The other guy had three fights. These guys are about cruiserweight. So Floyd Mayweather is going to fight a guy that weighs about 190 pounds. I mean, what's Floyd going to do? Make him come down to 147? You know, Floyd's always looking for the advantage. Floyd's going to probably make a fight with one hand tied behind his back, something like that. I know all you people that are Floyd fanatics think that week in and week out that I trash him. And I do. And I do it on purpose because I think that he's the biggest con perpetrated on the American public, especially the American sports public. No, the American public in general, since Paul Newman and Robert Redford in that movie, like in 1970, they called it The Sting. It was about a con. Well, Floyd was nothing but a con from the start to the end. I mean, yeah, he made some money, made record purses, of course. He crossed over and took on Conor McGregor, of course, in that boxing match where he conned an MMA guy to come over and he made like $100 million. I mean, I'm not down on him making money. I'm down on him making money faking his way as a boxer. That's just not the way to do it. He made enough money to just go away and ride off in the sunset, man. You're like a bad dream to a lot of people, Floyd, and you keep coming back and coming back and coming back. Why aren't you putting the attention on guys in your stable like Devin Haney, the WBC, one of the WBC champions at 135? Why aren't you putting him in the highlight? Why do you have to come back and steal some of the highlight away from these young guys? I just don't get it. I wish that Floyd Mayweather would just go away. I really do. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, aka WBC Boxing TV. Of course, check out what the WBC's got going on their website, WBC Boxing TV. That's right. Mauricio Sulaiman, the president of the World Boxing Council, says hello, but his website is WBC Boxing TV. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. She was the one who could calm my heart. I know someday that we could happen in a special way. I wish I may, I wish I might make you my all-star shining bright. I know I can feel it. This time is real. Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
The Ultimate Fighting Show was in full display last week. Of course, Jorge Masvidal, failing to capture the welterweight championship in a challenge against Kamaru Usman, was knocked out in the second round. And when I say knocked out, he was knocked out like beyond cold. He was frozen. Rose Nahumanis, my hero. If ever there was a hero in the world of mixed martial arts, it's her. There's no doubt about it. She's been the underdog and time and time and time again, and she wins fights she isn't supposed to win. So God bless her. May she continue to succeed. Of course, she knocked out Zhang Wel with a head kick. Zhang Wel was from the 22-1 or 21-1 from the People's Republic of China. She was a killer. She was a monstrous. There was no doubt about it. She was like a big favorite, and she got lit up. So more power to Rose, no doubt about that. Now the champion at 115 pounds. I think she's a former champion at 125 as well. And then is the women's flyweight champion, Valentina Shevchenko, defeated Jessica Andrade. That was a TKO in the second round with elbows, 3 minutes and 19 seconds in. So the bottom line is women are capturing, as far as pay-per-view buys are concerned, they did 700,000 buys. Of course, a $3.3 million gate, that's pretty damn good. 15,269 people in attendance. More power to the UFC, I guess, for bringing this on. Hopefully nobody gets sick. But, you know, it's time. it's really time for boxing to step out and, of course, be the big-time thing. Canelo's going to come back May the 8th against Billy Joe Saunders. That'll be, I think, in San Antonio. Of course, they're going to have the full stadium and more power to him on that one. Hopefully, everybody's getting vaccinated. I know Cuddy's going to get his vaccination tomorrow, his second shot. I got my second shot a few weeks ago, so I'm ready to roll. But more power to everybody getting vaccinated. The sooner we get vaccinated, the sooner people will stop dying. There's no doubt about that. It really is that the way it is. You don't want this... We don't want to go back to see what India is all about right now, okay? Speaking of odds today, let's talk about boxing odds. Of course, Dimitri Bivol, minus 2,000 against Craig Richards. I guess Craig Richards is not too that respected, a plus 750 underdog. Derek Chisora, minus 102. And Joseph Parker, minus 132. So, in other words, sort of weird. And then you go to Bovada, and Derek Chisora is plus 155, and Joseph Parker is minus 190, meaning Parker is probably a 2-1 favorite there. Some of the other fights on today's Omar Figueroa is on the card as well. He's going to be a plus 126 favorite, and take that back, underdog, and Abel Ramos is a minus 169 favorite, underdog. Now, Andy Ruiz, minus 2,500, minus 2,000, minus 2,000, minus 2,500, minus 2,000, minus 2,650. Wow. Chris Arreola doesn't have a chance here. He's plus 850, plus 900, plus 1100, plus 900, plus 1100, plus 1450. Bottom line is, doesn't look like Ariola's got any chance here. Slim or none. Bet your money on Andy Ruiz. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. You're inside looking at the world of boxing, MMA. Don't forget, the Sunday edition. Coming back to you Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time. That's 2 p.m. Eastern time, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio Channel 217, live on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel, and like 1,000 other internet platforms. Bottom line is, there's 1,000, 1,000,000 things you'd be doing right now. The fact you're listening and watching Ring Talk Live Worldwide, well, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Until next time, my name is Pedro Fernandez, coming to you from the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV.